This podcast is offered by the San Francisco Zen Center on the web at www.sfzc.org. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Good morning. Welcome. First of all, thank you so much for this opportunity and inviting me. I'd like to appreciate Kevin for this beautiful opportunity. And I am so honored to be here at San Francisco Zen Center. It's been 7 years since last time I visited here. As one of the representatives of Japanese Soto Zen monks, and which was a great experience for me to stay in this place with American Zen monks. Even though we have a different style of living, though small details are different, but our intention for a spiritual awakening is the same. And our practice our Zen practice, which is all about how to live better in our daily life. It's the same. And I was so happy, so grateful to meet everyone in this place from different places. And that experience made me feel I want to bring this Zen practice. I want to bring it back to Japan somehow. Because I felt the difference. The way of living life, which we don't really have in our Japanese monasteries, which is related to sustainable life. For example, at the Green Gulch, they grow organic vegetables. And all the monasteries in the San Francisco Zen Center, they were using eco-friendly detergent and shampoos and soaps, which we don't really see in our Japanese monasteries. And it's because Zen Buddhism in America, it got popular in 1960s when the counterculture was booming, especially in San Francisco. and counterculture for me. It's very interesting because back in old times I used to listen American old rock music. I used to have albums from Woodstocks. And just before I became a Zen Buddhist monk in Japan, I saw some books about counterculture and American Zen. And when I read that book, oh, I didn't know this was happening in America. And even Steve Jobs used to attend this place. And it felt me, oh, American Zen. It sounds like it really fits me. So since then, I was kind of dreaming of visiting San Francisco Zen Center. And while I was in the monastery in Japan, I got to know that there is some opportunity to visit Zen centers in Europe or in Hawaii or in America, in California. And since I got to know it, I asked my teacher if there is any possibility to stay in San Francisco Zen Centers. And my teacher said, okay, if you practice here at least for 2 years, maybe I can give you some opportunity. And that made me feel, okay, I definitely want to practice for at least for 2 years. And after 2 years, I'm going to ask him again if I can visit Zen centers in America. And that happened in 2017. And I came here and I was really, really impressed for the difference. Different style of practice. And it was more casual for me, more lay people always come and practice casually in a good way. Because in Japan, when people hear about Zen practice, it sounds very strict. It sounds very different. It sounds very hesitate kind of to join casually. So for most people, people's idea is they need to have certain commitment to join the Zen practice. But when I came to here and also visited other Zen centers in California, people are more casually joining Zen practice and more enjoying the practice. Growing vegetables and cleaning the places, and of course, zazen. So people come to sit zazen for their spiritual growth. Of course, in Japan, it's also we sit zazen for our spiritual awakening, But in a monastery, most students come practice in a monastery for the succession. Actually, 90% of Buddhist monks in the monastery in Japan, they were born and raised in a temple family. So they come to the monastery mostly for the duty, rather than their spiritual growth. But of course we learn Zen practice is about, it's all about our spiritual growth. However, I felt if I bring this kind of practice back to Japan, it can be more accessible to people and more understandable the essence of Zen practice. Which is how we can live in this present moment. Nowadays, many people are suffering. Suffering from thinking mind. That it's happening all the time in our mind. Especially in this chaotic situation in the world. People are struggling with living. Be anxious to our future. And you regret our past. And sometimes no idea how to live. No idea how to deal with the thinking mind. So, Zen practice, Zazen, cleaning, cooking, gardening, which are all about something we do in our daily life. Nothing is special. Usually people are pursuing their happiness. And mostly the idea is happiness is all about something that we can gain, attain, or achieve. But in Zen Buddhism, happiness is not what we can gain or achieve, but it's something we can find in this present moment, here and now. So through this mindful practice, we can find our true nature, which is called Buddha nature. As long as we are in this present moment, there is no space for thinking mind. There is no space to regret our future, anxious to our future. My master, Zen Master Koshu Itabashi, who was a former head priest of Sojiji, head monastery in Soto Zen Buddhism in Japan, he was always saying, be as you are. And live like cats. He loved cats, so in our monastery we had more than 30 of cats. And they told me it used to be more than 100. And because it was really hard to manage more than hundreds of cats, they kind of tried to control the number of cats. And when I was in monastery, it was around 30. And we named every cat. And when we found a new cat, we immediately took them to the hospital for the vaccination and contraception. And that was also our practice. So we feed them every morning and evening. And the people, a lot of people come to see we feed them. We use the half pipe, long half pipe, and put the food, and the cats eat them, and they make a line and eat them, and that's the people come to take pictures for that. So our monastery became a kind of touristic monastery, and once in a while the tourist bus comes and we guide them to the main hall, and the monks had a little bit dumb talk, and I was also one of them. I was really enjoying that introducing Zazen practice, even if it was just a five minutes. And so our monastery is a little bit unique in that sense, because feeding cats and taking care of cats, and also are guiding tourist people to our monastery. Which doesn't usually happen in the monasteries in Japan. So our practice was a little bit unique and special, and I was really feeling good to be in front of people and speak like this. Of course, in Japanese. And I had When I was in the monastery, I had a really, really some special moment, that happiness. True happiness is in our daily life. That was, I can still say, it was kind of my happiest moment. That happened when I was pushing a trolley with a full of garbage, full of smelly garbage. Just pushing the trolley to the place to dump. It was when the sunset time. Our monastery had a beautiful green, and I was just pushing the trolley to the garbage point, and suddenly that moment happened with a beautiful sunset and smelly garbage. And I felt so, so grateful. And full of appreciation for being there, practicing with my master. And I still remember that moment. And that's how I can say, from my experience, happiness. It's nothing that we can gain, but we can find in our daily life. And I also would say, that happens when we are in this present moment, when we are fully experiencing this present moment. So my idea was how I can apply this experience, how I can share this experience with people. In Zen tradition, sitting Zazen is one of our main practices. So a great master Dogen Zenji said, Shikantaza, which means just sitting, without any tension. But it's kind of hard to understand for people just sitting, because we are so used to do something with some sort of intention. What's the purpose of this? What we can gain from this practice? Otherwise, people don't have any motivation to do that. And for many people, it's really hard to sit in silence. And that's also how I try to apply my music to meditation practice. So before I became a Buddhist monk, I was traveling around the world as a beatboxer. And my dream was becoming a successful musician and traveling the world and touring the world as a musician. But I had to give it up at some point. It's because of my father, who became a Buddhist monk later in his life. He became a sort of Zen Buddhist monk when I was in high school. And when I was in university, he came back from monastery and became a priest of local temple. And once in a while, asked me, "Are you succeeding me?" Oh, at that time I was young, so my answer was, "No. No way. How come I need to become a Buddhist monk?" But at the same time, I was interested in spirituality, how to live a better life. But my interest was not in Japanese Buddhism at all. Because for me at that time, Buddhism is all about doing funerals and memorial services, which is actually one of our main roles in Japan. So in every school in Japanese Buddhism, doing funerals and memorial services, they are our main jobs, rather than teaching this wisdom. So generally, people's idea about Buddhism is, oh, Buddhism is about funerals and doing something for dead people. Even though Buddhism is all about how we can live better life, how we can live with less suffering. In Japan, people's idea is not like that. So it's time to share, introduce this wisdom to people. But we kind of need to show how useful this is. And how easily we can apply in our daily life. Because I was a musician, oh, not I was, I am still. maybe I can apply this music to introduce Zen practice to people. However, it was just after leaving monastery, applying music to Zen practice, no way. Music for meditation? What is that? So I never thought about I play music for meditation because meditation should be done in silence. That's what I learned in the monastery. That's a tradition. So, how could I change my mind? After leaving monastery, I lived back in Tokyo where I was born and raised. And after a while, I was like, oh, I want to play music again. I want to be a musician. But now, I'm a Buddhist monk. So at least I need to do something as a Buddhist monk. And one day, I tried chanting Heart Sutra on top of my beatboxing, looping music. With my headphone, I was doing on my own. And I felt like, oh, this is something. And I'm not sure if it's right or wrong, but this is something. Then I tried doing that at my live performance. And my audience immediately noticed and talked to me later, "What are you chanting? Why are you chanting some Buddhist thing on your music?" And I said, "Yes." And people were like, "That was really amazing. You should do that. You should keep on doing this." And I was like, "Okay, people may like it." But just after that, COVID happened. And I had absolutely no chance to play in front of people. At the time, I was having my workshop for music, and I was working for hosting people at Airbnb place, and also helping my colleague, my Dharma brothers, for the funeral and the memorial services. I was helping him. Everything was gone. I had absolutely no income. And I was just losing my life. What should I do? But at the same time, I was seeking how I can play my music online. I was doing a lot of research for doing live streaming and like doing things online. And at the same time, my friend who used to be working for a professional photo studio, he asked me, "Hey, my boss said we have no appointment. So he said I can use the studio whatever I like. So maybe we can shoot something." And okay, let's do something. And it was a COVID time, so my idea was like, I need to do something to pray, for praying people have calm mind. So that's how I shot a video in a professional studio with a camera my friend had, and also another professional camera, which another friend coincidentally left in my room. Oh, I have two professional cameras in a professional studio. And we shot the video and edited it by myself for all night long, for many hours. And I posted them, wishing like, I spent a lot of time for making this, so hopefully hit 10,000 views, let's say. That one got really popular. People call it viral. Now it's over 6 million views. And I got a lot of comments that saying, your music really heals me. I feel like I'm in heaven. And I gave them back that, oh, there is no heaven in Buddhism. anyway. So, and also I got so many comments saying, oh, your music is so good for meditation. I meditate every day with this music. I practice yoga every day with this music. Your music is really good for reading books, for studying, which I never expect. So, okay, maybe people want to meditate with some music. Because I knew a lot of people struggle sitting meditation in silence because of the thinking mind. They're always busy to think about something. So music can be a really good tool to focus, being away from our thinking mind. So I decided myself, okay, maybe I can play more soothing music for people to practice meditation, to help them meditate. Then I started doing live streaming every single day during the COVID. I did 108 days. 108, which is the number of our desires. And I got more comments that your music is very good for meditating and healing. And I had a really beautiful moment, beautiful journey through your music. So my idea gradually shifted that I can play music for their inner journey. It could be more than being in this present moment. People can go deeper. And somehow, people started experiencing their inner journey through our music. But I would say, inner journey also happens only when they are in this present moment. And after the COVID, I was invited to play at the health conference. Health conference, which is called Biohacking, Biohacker Summit. How many of you had heard about biohacking? Oh, cool, good, good. Biohacking is all about how to optimize our health. So, at the conference, I played some music, but also I had some speech. So I introduced Zen practice. It's biohacking. It's because Zen monks live longer through our practice. Of course, we don't say Zen practice is biohacking, but unconsciously or unknowingly, we've been practicing some sort of biohacking things in our practice. First of all, of course, living in this present moment. As long as we are in this present moment, we can be away from stressful life, which basically makes us feel tired, which makes us get older. If you keep living a stressful, so stressful life, of course you know people look older than their age. So mental stress matters. For many biohackers, they take good supplements. They use some devices, for example, hyperbaric oxygen chambers, and infrared sauna, and things that makes you healthier, basically. But of course, some biohacking, you don't really need to use any money. For example, taking cold shower in the morning, which I do, which is very healthy, and you don't spend any money for that, basically for free, but makes you very healthier. So I introduced Zen practice. Okay, all of you are looking for some really good supplements and some useful devices, but I have to say, cleaning, it's biohacking. Especially cleaning toilets. So I introduced them. Hey, we have a toilet god in a Zen monastery, which is called Ususama Myo. And the mantra is Om Kuroda no Unjakso Waka. We don't usually chant that mantra in a monastery, but there's a mantra for that. And if you go into the toilet in a Japanese monastery, Zen monastery, usually you can see the Usama Myo O in the front of the toilet. So we vow and enter. What other people vow to the toilet? totally different idea that we appreciate something what people usually don't. And do something what people usually don't want. Cleaning toilets. Such an amazing feeling. I keep cleaning toilets for 15 years, let's say, even before I become a Buddhist monk. I was seeking the way to live better, how I can be happier, how I can live better. So I read many books about self-improvement or anything. And I read some book, cleaning toilet is the best way. Is it sure? Okay, I'll try. And I started trying cleaning the toilet. I still do. In Japan, I live in a shared house. And I clean the toilet. Because we are 10 people in one house, the toilet gets dirty very easily. So I have a really good practice routine. And as an artist, musician, people say, oh, you're becoming really popular. But this practice makes me more humble. And unconsciously imprinting me that I am not higher than anyone. Because this practice, the routine, is unconsciously keep telling me that I am doing something that many other people don't want. In Buddhism, if you do something people don't want, that's a virtue. So I've been believing this and keep practicing this. And the most amazing thing is after cleaning the toilet, your hand looks more beautiful. And your feeling inside is more beautiful. So that's how I introduced Zen practice. It's biohacking, which is most, cutting-edge health thing. But always, ancient wisdom works for everything. And after that talk, people just talk to me, oh, your talk was amazing. I'm gonna clean my toilet. And after the talk, I played a little bit of music for guiding people to meditate, which also I'm thinking to do today. With this instrument called handpan. People sometimes ask me, what is this? Looks like a UFO. And I say, yes, this is from different planet. And it actually sounds like that. So, for the last 5 minutes, I would play this instrument, and I would like you to close your eyes. Of course, you can keep opening your eyes. Your heart half open, as zazen. But just focusing on your sensation that you can feel inside of your body, rather than thinking something else.
Be happy. peace. Ati pala ati pala sam ati muni svaha.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by the San Francisco Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your financial support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information, please visit sfzc.org and click Giving. May we fully enjoy the Dharma.